Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 222 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural, which is mainly focused on the intercultural aspects of study abroad experiences. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and I will guide you through our show today. In this episode, which will be the last of a series of 30th anniversary of the Erasmus program, we will listen to Barbara Neukirchen, who works with outgoing students and helps them find the best partner universities for their stays abroad. She will talk about differences in students' behaviors and appearance, which she notices after they come back from their host country. We will also interview two guest lecturers, Dr. Karina Cerqueira from Portugal, who will talk about her stay abroad, and Professor Ten Mosey from our partner university in India, who speaks about her extraordinary campus and how it was first established with German aid in the 1960s. And then we'll hear some voices of international professionals who were once exchange students in Germany and who will tell us what skills and habits they gained during their studies at Rhein-Ahr Campus. And last, but clearly not least, my co-host Anne Fox from Denmark will turn into our guest in this show because she was in Germany and took part in our seminar, Managing Cultural Diversity. And I just couldn't resist getting out my microphone to find out about her newest projects involving refugees. In our first category, Absolutely Astonishing, Barbara Neukirchen talks about students before and after they go abroad and what differences in their appearances or even in their behavior she will notice. How do they use their semester abroad to change their lives?
Of course they change, yeah. Maybe their looks have changed, maybe their attitudes have changed, and they just shake your hand differently from how they did it before they left.
The second part of our podcast, Absolutely Life-Changing, comes from our former international students and from a guest lecturer from Portugal who share their impressions of how their semesters abroad really changed their lives.
And of course, then later on it helped me to get a good job.
Yeah, that's totally changed my life.
It was not about grammar anymore. It's about surviving.
Totally a life changer for me.
In the third category, Absolutely Extraordinary, our guest lecturer, Professor Ten Mosey from India, talks about the Managing Cultural Diversity seminar she attended in Germany. Then she describes her university in the south of India, where students meet animals every day and everywhere on campus. And, of course, about German students who choose India for their semesters abroad. Do they behave differently from the Indian students in the classroom?
Normally, they are silent in the class. I would say that they don't participate much in the interactions. Then later, they come and talk after the class. They like courses which are very structured and very systematic.
In our final category, Absolutely Playful, Anne Fox from Denmark talks about the recent projects she has been working on with refugees. The activities, where they involve local people and refugees in playing games, demonstrate how citizens of a country can easily help asylum seekers adapt and integrate.
The game is just an excuse, and the excuse is to get people together.
But now, let us start with the show. In our first category, Absolutely Astonishing, Barbara Neukirchen talks about the astonishing changes that she notices when students come back to their home university.
Well, sometimes they come in and have certain ideas, but then sometimes they go out of my office and have, different ideas.
Okay. So you're not a travel agency, you change people's minds?
Well, I am a travel agency, if you want, because people come to my office and want to go abroad, and when they come back from abroad, their lives have completely changed.
Can you give us an example? In which cases would you try to change people's minds? If they already have a plan, why do you sometimes say, yeah, well, please reconsider this?
For example, people who don't speak certain languages should visit universities where English is the language of instruction, for example. And that's what they don't think about before.
Do people change during that time? I mean, usually I think an Erasmus stay would only be, what, 3 months, 3.5 months?
Between 3 and 5 months. It depends on the country you go to. And of course they change, yeah. Some differences are very clear because you can see it when they come through your door. Maybe their looks have changed, maybe their attitudes have changed, and they just shake your hand differently from how they did it before they left.
How do the students benefit most from their stays?
Some of them report about a mini Europe in Europe because they will meet so many Erasmus students in the country they are going to, for example, Spain. There's a large community of Erasmus students, and it's from all different countries of Europe. And that's what they all really mention, apart from things like language proficiency and academic recognition. I'm sure that they gain international and cultural awareness, and you can really see it. When they come back, they as buddies for our international students, for example. And if they started by doing their Erasmus semester, it will be continued in their future life.
As Barbara said, it is not just the academic benefits that students get, but it is way more than that. Yes, some of the changes, for example, a new intercultural awareness, may not be noticeable to the students themselves. But once they return back to their home countries with their new style and habits which they formed abroad, perhaps people around them realize how much they changed while they were away. So let's move on to the second part, absolutely life-changing, where our guest lecturer from Portugal will talk about her study abroad experience, and our former exchange students will bring up a number of examples how studying abroad has affected their lives, what new skills they learned, how they changed their bad habits into good ones, and how this experience helped them in their later careers.
I have felt changes in many ways. One of them was that I became much more open. It was also good for self-confidence. So when I got back to university after my experience abroad, then I became a more active student. I asked questions, I participated in group work and projects. This was really a direct impact on my life. Also, my English skills have improved a lot. So then I started to read English materials and participate in English courses. And of course, then later on, it helped me to get a good job. I work in the Ministry of Agriculture, and I still can remember my first job interview in my life. They were interviewing me in Hungarian, English, and also in Italian. I had that feeling that it was a big plus for me.
Ah, okay. How about you? How has your time abroad changed you, or would you say you didn't change much?
I have to admit that I was a very lazy student and my English skills were not that good, and I was always anxious about my grammar. And when I went abroad, it was not about grammar anymore. It's about surviving. And if you have to survive, you get more efficient because you have 5 minutes for dealing this, 5 minutes for dealing that. Especially in Germany, I learned being a bit more efficient.
Okay. How about you? I believe you have spent some time abroad during your studies.
I went to Spain, Vigo, to take my PhD. And the difference that I felt was there, they had a lot of attention to work groups and actual practical group that I was not used to. And that improved me a lot. Okay. Now I'm more oriented to practice.
So how have you integrated that into your life now?
It's simple. All my students have to accomplish some practice work. They don't have any other option. For me, it was relevant because now I have a more practical vision of things.
Okay. How about you? You've also spent some time abroad. How has that concretely changed your life?
Well, my first stay abroad was in France. I was staying in a host family. They were very, very polite and a lot of positive feedback, and that is something I integrated then later on when I was talking to people, that I was giving more positive feedback.
Now, I believe you've spent some time abroad. Everybody says that is a life changer. Was it a life changer for you, or was it just one semester abroad?
Totally a life changer for me. I am from Spain, and before I used to be like the most unpunctual guy ever. My graduation project supervisor was always really upset because I was never on time with him. And nowadays he's always like, oh my god, you are here already. And also, like, for example, in my house, I was never cooking, and my brother was the chef of the house, and nowadays I took his position.
Okay. How about you? You also came to Germany. Has that changed your life too?
Yeah, that's totally changed my life, because I came here, I did not speak any English, I did not speak German, and I managed to learn both of them in 2 semesters, and the exchange semesters in Germany also influenced my education. When I got back, I got my bachelor degree, and then I thought that it would be nice to have a master degree in human resources, because I saw how it worked in our simulation companies. And since I got English-German skills, I got a job in a German company.
Well, well, it seems that moving to another country can be an intercultural challenge at the beginning, as it forces students to move out of their comfort zones, which benefits them to change aspects of their personality, perhaps become more confident and efficient, and even turn them into a better version of themselves. As we just heard, the semester abroad seems to have an influence on almost everybody's choice of job in the end. So let's listen to our next category, absolutely extraordinary. Here our guest, Professor Tenmozi, describes her university campus in India, which is located in a kind of forest, and the wildlife is quite unusual for international students, but the campus has a lot to offer. But I first asked her about the seminar she had just attended.
I am Professor Tenmozi from Indian Institute of Technology, Madras, from India. I have just come here to attend the work seminar on managing cultural diversity at the Rayanher campus. I think it has been nice coming and participating here in the seminar.
The other colleagues came from different countries. They all had different teaching styles, for example. Was there something that you found particularly interesting in the seminar?
Actually, I really enjoyed attending the seminar, and I was also very surprised to look at some of the methodology that they used.
For example?
Developing the CV for different countries. And I could see that it is actually a really useful thing for an international student.
Some of our students like to go to your campus because apparently it's a very beautiful campus, and somehow Germany was involved in developing this.
Our association with Germany is very, very long back. I think I should say more than 60 years back. And I think our institute still started because of German interest in starting up an engineering institution in India.
The main street on campus, I think, is called Bonn Avenue. Yes, after the city Bonn, which was the capital at the time when IITM was founded. Now, this is a special campus somehow. It's a little nicer than other campuses. Can you explain?
Actually, you say it's more like a forest, mm-hmm. where the buildings are coming up in between the forest.
Is it true that it is a national park?
Yeah, it was part of... No, it's not a national park. National park is nearby. Mm-hmm. But it's part of the governor's bungalow. We don't have any fencing in around the building so that we don't interfere the movement of the deers around the campus. We always want to ensure that they have their space because we feel we are occupying their space.
You say it's quite a big surface, actually. That means that the students actually need to move around from building to building in their cars or on a bicycle?
In our campus, students are not allowed to use a car. So students can move around using a bicycle. They may have to move from one building to another building for the classes. So they make use of a bicycle to move around. And 10 minutes break is given so that they have the time to move from one building to the other building for the classes.
And then everybody hops on their bicycles.
Yes.
And try not to run over a deer with their bicycle.
Yeah.
Now, the international students, like our students from our university, for example, when they arrive, are they like your Indian students? Do they ask different questions?
Normally, they are silent in the class. I would say that they don't participate much in the interactions. Then later they come and talk after the class. They like courses which are very structured and very systematic. But of course, sometimes they find it difficult when there's a lot of work, even during weekends. We have the habit of sometimes, since it's a weekend, we give a lot of assignments on Fridays. But sometimes they feel that they're not used to it. They don't like any surprise assignments being given. We always find them, they enjoy traveling to places during weekends. And they also interact with the other students.
Before we come to the end of our show today, in our last category, absolutely playful, I will interview Anne Fox. Yes, the Anne Fox, who is doing every second episode of this very podcast and who is currently working with refugees in Denmark. How does the project help integrate refugees in their new surroundings? But first, she told me about an Erasmus strategic partnership.
I'm involved with two projects at the moment. One is an Erasmus project, which is a strategic partnership, where we are devising teacher training to help teachers of vocational subjects help their students to work in a more sustainable way. And so there are lots of occasions during your ordinary working day where you can take the sustainable option or you can take the unsustainable option. The other project came as a little bit of a surprise, actually, because ever since the refugee crisis started in Denmark, I've been getting involved on a voluntary basis in various ways. So, for example, I became involved with refugee families in my little village, and it occurred to me that they need a lot of support in order to just live a normal life. And the reason perhaps that I get a little bit excited about this is because I remember the time when I arrived in Denmark and had no clue about the language. Just so happened that the Danish Ministry of Integration was offering some money for integration projects. George Simons devised a game that he sells mainly to businesses. The game is just an excuse, and the excuse is to get people together. So what we're going to do is we're going to invite local refugees and local Danes who are sympathetic to the idea to come and join together in an event, and of which the game will be the main part.
Can you give us an insight already into what the game is about?
Yeah, the game has five different types of cards, and basically you're invited to either share something from your own culture, or you're invited to put yourself in a situation and try and pick what the right answer would be in that situation. And the most important thing about the game in this situation is that both the refugees and the Danes should be on an equal footing.
So what about the language you're using? Is the language going to be Danish, or is it going to be English, or yet another language? How does that work?
Okay, the language is actually an issue.
Well, I can imagine, yes.
In Finland, where they started the adaptation, what they decided to do is that they have the questions in English, first of all, and then for the Danish version, we will have them in Danish. Mm-hmm. We're also going to have them in Arabic, and I am also considering whether we should be using the Eritrean language, as we have Eritreans as well.
So in an ideal world, if this all works out, and not just in English but also in some other languages, what are you hoping to get out of this?
Well, my ideal result would be that the people who come to play the game are local, and that the people that make connections during the afternoon continue somehow to make a contact. So, and in fact, I've realized that we need to look at the whole design of the experience, because we want it to end up, and it doesn't matter if it's just a banal thing such as I'll go to coffee with you next week, as long as there is some sort of contact at the end of it.
Contact.
Exactly.
Thank you to all who joined us for today's show. So what about you? Have you formulated your New Year's resolutions? Maybe you could advance your own internationalization, invest in your future career, or spend some time abroad in 2018, which will definitely give you an insight into different cultures. Now please check out our website at absolutely-intercultural.com. Here you can get more information about this and previous episodes. And if you liked our show, please like us on Facebook too. By the way, did you know that we are on iTunes? You can subscribe to us there for free and give us a rating and a comment. We would very much appreciate that. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 2nd of February 2018. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell. Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.